Hi, everybody. This is The Simpsons Show. I am Robbie with my co-host, Matt, and we are here to talk about The Simpsons from the beginning. Matt, how are you?
I am spending this episode glad I am too ugly for film, because this seems like a lot of work.
Matt,
You're
a beautiful man. I don't know why you're so down on yourself. It's not healthy.
Well, between me and your other podcast husband, I'm beginning to seriously question your taste in men.
But you're... it's sad really. Hey guys, we are brought to you by our supporters on Patreon, patreon.com/thesimpsonsshow. For only $2 a month, you can gain access to all of our bonus content, including this month's bonus episode. Should be up by the time you hear this. It is about The Critic, with you know, this.
We watched every episode 20 times just to make sure it was right.
We didn't do that. We watched a handful. We watched some of them. We did not watch all. I've seen them all. We've seen them in the past. But we talked about it. We talked about comparisons to Simpsons and non-comparisons to Simpsons, etc. But please go check that out. Really appreciate it. Also, if you want to help us out, go on iTunes or wherever you listen to us and give us a 5-star review. Subscribe. It really helps us out. Gets more people listening to the show, which we like. This week's episode is A Star Is Burns, episode 2, F31, written by Ken Keeler, directed by Susie Dieter. Finished 57th in the ratings for that week. Third highest rated show on Fox that week, beaten by Melrose Place and Beverly Hills 90210. The Critic finished 64th.
We're in a dark, dark future.
You just...
We really are at this point.
What? It's very consistent, Matt. Melrose Place, Beverly Hills, 90210, consistently as being The Simpsons. It's just the facts. It's okay.
Everyone wants to watch beautiful fake teenagers.
Popularity does not necessarily equal quality. The couch gag, the family's heights are reversed. Maggie is now the biggest, while Homer is tiny. It's all right.
It's interesting. It's one-time gag.
It's not bad. Guest stars John Lovitz as Jay Sherman. We have Maurice LaMarche as Georgie Scott and as Jay Sherman's burp. Maurice LaMarche is he's in The Critic a lot. He's also in Futurama a lot. Also Phil Hartman as Charlton Heston, or a Charlton Heston like actor. I'm not sure if they actually do they name him.
I don't believe so.
Okay,
I believe that they just kind of let it go. It's like, oh, it's Troy McClure, who is obviously a mock up of Charlton Heston.
Yeah. Episode begins with Eye on Springfield. There's a particularly bad rapping rabbis bit, which I did not pull. And then...
Luckily, I think that was the point of the rapping rabbis.
Yeah, I'm sure it was. It was really bad. And then a long segment on about how Springfield is the worst in everything.
But first, we all stink.
We all... Hey!
That's according to a national survey ranking Springfield as the least popular city in America.
In science, dead last. I'm telling you people, the Earth revolves around the sun.
Burn him!
What a story!
You've stolen my soul!
In culture, dead last.
Eleanor, we've got to do something about this depression. So I propose... Oh, that's right, I'm crippled.
This is terrible. People start to avoid Springfield.
But what can I do? I'm just one man.
I like that Homer had to count that.
Yeah,
out.
Well, that's very important.
Appropriate.
Yeah. We see a bit with Bart worrying about his Bart apparently sells maps to stars' homes.
Movie stars' homes.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah,
including Drew Barrymore.
But that's just Moe's house. Moe's. I do like the Japanese tourists treating Moe like he's Drew Barrymore. But Springfield has a solution. I think it's a solution to like every problem that Springfield has is just to have a town meeting.
I mean, there's few enough of them that they could actually pull it off.
There's 32,000 people there, Matt.
Okay, there are a few enough concerned citizens that could all fit in the town hall.
They have a town meeting, and Marge has a proposed solution to the problem.
The easiest way to be popular is to leech off the popularity of others. So we propose changing our name from Springfield to Seinfeld.
I may be just a boy, but I have an idea. If I may, I'd like to show you a few slides. Here's Springfield as it appears from space. Somewhere in this windy valley is the Lost Dutchman's mine.
Young man, that appears to be a picture of your rear end.
So long, suckers! This is the last time I use an escape plan devised by Milhouse.
Oh, sorry, Bart.
I'm Marge Simpson, and I have an idea.
Marge is going to say something.
Now, I know you haven't liked some of my past suggestions, like switching to the metric system.
The metric system is the tool of the devil! My car gets 40 rods to the hogshead, and that's the way I like it!
The old person's remarks will be stricken from the record.
Who said that?
But my new idea is different. I think we should hold a film festival and give out prizes.
Could we make our own movies and enter them?
Yes.
At last, an excuse to wear makeup.
All in favor of Marge Simpson's film festival idea?
Film festival! Film festival!
You like my idea? Actually, I have several others.
Don't push your luck! Don't push your luck!
I still shan't don't count your luck on several occasions.
I do want to note that 40 rods to the hogshead, if the internet can be trusted, is really inefficient.
It's terrible. That's like the first gas cars got better than that. So I don't know what Grandpa was really angling for.
Yeah, I believe it's under a mile a gallon.
Yeah.
So, although, I mean, it sounds fun. You know,
sounds like the kind of units we use here in America, but thankfully we don't.
Yeah, we can switch just miles per gallon. I think
maybe
it's great.
In Mississippi, maybe.
Hey, Matt, come on! Mississippi's a fine state. There's that river.
Mm-hmm.
That river.
That river actually touches like what 12 states?
It has that river, and it has gambling.
It does have gambling quite a bit. And if you enjoy gambling, Mississippi is the place for you, or Nevada, or anywhere there's a Native American reservation. But still.
We like you, Mississippi. Don't listen to Matt. We get a glimpse into some of the townsfolk's movies of that they're trying to make. We have Lisa and Bart making a film called The Eternal Struggle, which is Homer trying to put his pants on.
That is an eternal struggle, especially when you keep your belt buckled.
He unbuckles his belt. It does not change it. They also have Flanders.
Probably because they're still buttoned, I would assume.
That also is a problem. Flanders is making a movie, basically Moses, it seems. You know, because it's, you know, they're putting a child in a basket on the river. And then, it's Todd. And then he floats away. What do you think about this? Man, this is a weird thing because God literally shows up here and gives gives Flanders a thumbs up and a oakley doakley.
I choose to believe it was a special effect of the movie they were making. It's supposed to be a meta movie about them making a movie about Moses, and that's just obviously a special effect. You didn't get that?
No, I got the fact that God literally just showed up and put his hand through the clouds and gave Flanders a thumbs up after saving his son.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I understand that. I don't know. It's just, I mean, God has showed up multiple times, so I guess he's a reoccurring character in The Simpsons. I shouldn't be too critical. Marge is looking for a film critic to sit on the, what is the actual, like, the name that they give that, the committee?
I think they just call it the Film Festival Committee.
Oh.
Or Film Jury Committee.
Film Jury, whatever it is. Looking for someone to help judge the films. And there are 600 critics, and Leonard Maltin is the best looking. That's
no surprise there, really.
I know, Leonard Maltin, dashing man. But they meet Jay Sherman. We see a glimpse of him into his show. He is discussing McBain's newest film, and he interviews Rainier Wolfcastle.
The film is just me in front of a brick wall for an hour and a half. It cost $80 million.
How do you sleep at night?
On top of a pile of money with many beautiful ladies.
Just asking.
Yeesh.
I like him. He's smart. He's sensitive. He's clearly not obsessed with his physical appearance.
My ears are burning.
I wasn't talking about you, Dad.
No, my ears are really burning. I wanted to see inside, so I lit a Q-tip.
Marge.
I love how many of you have Marge's groans during this episode.
This is what I needed. I feel like they're important. You need to have them. They provide a nice little, like, exclamation point at the end of a bit. Marge sends a letter to Jay to try invite him to Springfield.
Dear Mr. Sherman, on behalf of the people of Springfield, I would like to invite you to judge our film festival. You can stay with us and enjoy the sights and sounds of the country.
Marge, is this a pimple or a boil?
Just a minute, Homer. Oh, look what you made me write. Anyway, we think you'll really enjoy our quiet little town. Sincerely, Marge Simpson.
And that is followed by Jay worrying for his life because Rainer Wolfcastle has come to hunt him down for his bad review. And Jay takes an opportunity and jumps in a taxi and races to the airport to fly to Springfield. And we go to commercial.
And when we come back, we see a wonderful little scene of Jay arriving in Springfield, where the New York plane cuts off another plane with the phrase, "I'm landing here." Which, you know, is what movie was that? Was that where did that come from? It was Midnight Cowboy?
Correct.
Okay.
I'm walking here.
Exactly.
And then used in 50 million other things in various
ways. To describe
ways.
New York, essentially.
Yes. I believe it was I can remember it, like, in Forrest Gump. I can remember it in, I'm trying to think of other, there's other ones that have used it.
Of course, they're there to pick up Jay, so Homer writes his name on the card several times, despite trying not to, because that's the only name that Homer knows.
Is that how we are explaining that?
Yeah, sure. Homer can only write his own name. He can't write anything more than that.
Oh, okay. I mean, I guess that explains it.
There's a lot of things, really.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
But we get a nice introduction between Jay and Bart, where Bart says, "I smell another cheap cartoon crossover." And then the TV in the background mentions the Flintstones Jetsons crossover, which wasn't bad. Dang it.
Well, there is. There's that whole theory that actually they are. It's not all that weird. I don't know. Explaining they try and do to make them exist at the same time is actually not necessary. And that's all just a big, like, trick, because they're actually existing at the same time, and that the Jetsons live above the clouds and the Flintstones live on the earth, a polluted earth that has made all the animals mutate and become like dinosaurs and stuff, and
like dinosaurs but not dinosaurs really.
Yeah, because they talk and stuff, you know, or they, like, they all have jobs, like, that's not, they're not really dinosaurs. Like Dino is not a, he's not a dinosaur. Those are no dinosaurs,
not as far as we know anyway.
Exactly. So, like, that they are existing at the same time. That's not true whatsoever, but it is fun.
Indeed it is, because, you know, the Jetsons live above the clouds, the Flintstones live beneath the clouds, so really they're not really going that far. But anyway, back to the Springfield. We then get to see Mr. Burns in a... this is kind of long. I'm going to apologize in advance, but we get to see him in his attempt at the film festival.
I don't know what's happening. It seems our profits have dropped 37%.
I'm afraid we have a bad image, sir. Market research shows people see you as something of an ogre.
I ought to club them and eat their bones.
Well, maybe this film festival could help us. A film biography might let them get to know the real you. Virtuous, heroic, nubile.
You left out Pleasant. But I like that film biography idea. A slick Hollywood picture to gloss over my evil rise to power, like Bugsy or Working Girl. Get me Steven Spielberg.
He's unavailable.
Then get me his non-union Mexican equivalent. Listen, Senor Spielbergo, I want you to do for me what Spielberg did for Oscar Schindler.
Schindler es bueno. Señor Burns es el diablo.
Listen, Spielbergo, Schindler and I are like peas in a pod. We're both factory owners. We both made shells for the Nazis, but mine worked, damn it. Now go out there and win me that festival.
It is true. Señor Burns es el diablo.
My favorite part of this episode is all this burn stuff, because it is...
Oh, yeah. That could be its own episode, really.
Yeah, it is multiple times over later on. but
it's true.
It's really... whenever you have Burns trying to, like, create propaganda for himself, it never works. It's always bad. And he just doesn't understand, and that's beautiful.
Also, why would people care about the image of their power plant? They don't. That's not going to make them sell more electricity. Oh, I love that Burns guy. Let me use more electricity.
Matt,
that's
Matt,
not really
Matt. Matt, Matt.
Yes.
Matt.
Yes.
Matt. Yes. Matt.
Yes.
Matt.
Yes.
Matt.
Yes. Yes.
Doesn't it's you don't worry about it.
All right, fair enough. But once that scene is over, we move on to Jay having dinner with the Simpsons, and Homer and Jay are fighting over the last pork chop. Although why you would make an odd number of pork chops, like you have, you know, five members of the Simpsons, four, I guess, that are going to be eating pork chops, plus Jay. Why would you make six pork chops for five people?
Maybe there's a sixth in the package.
Maybe that's true, I guess. But Jay and Homer fight over it. And, of course, it really comes down to their stomachs. And apparently Homer's stomach is the bigger dog.
It's true.
I guess.
I mean, that's literally, they are barking at each other, so.
Yeah. But Marge interferes in a natural selection and gives the pork chop to Jay. We then have a wonderful bit with Jay after Lisa mentioning that he has won two Pulitzer Prizes. And it turns out Jay has won a lot of things.
Mr. Sherman, I understand you have two Pulitzer Prizes.
Well, it's not like I carry them around with me. Ooh, it's so hot in here. Oh, look, here's my People's Choice Award. Five Golden Globes. Where's my Emmy? Thank you.
Yeah, well, I won the belching contest at work.
Very nice, Homer.
Wow, how many Pulitzer Prize winners could do that?
Just me and Eudora Welty.
I honestly heard of Eudora Welty, but I don't know why she would have gotten a reputation for being a burper. Do you know why that would be?
I think it's a complete non sequitur.
Okay.
But she was like in her 80s at the time of this episode, so maybe.
I hope she didn't object if she could even watch it at all.
Yeah, and they actually refer to her again later. But yeah, I don't think there was an actual reason that they used her name other than, hey, she's a female Pulitzer Prize winner. Yeah. Yeah, so we can make that joke.
That's true. And knowing society at the time, there probably weren't that many of those. So, hey. Anyway, after Homer is forced to give over his belching contest trophy to Jay, technically Bart steals it from him and gives it to Jay, Patty and Selma come over, and Jay is at first excited about sisters, because, you know, Marge is a fairly attractive woman from what The Simpsons tells us. However, he is scarred at first sight by Patty and Selma, but they get along fairly well. And of course, Patty and Selma decide that they want to know everyone in Hollywood who's gay. And do you know who Hobby Fireson is?
Harvey Fierstein?
Oh, is that who he says?
Yeah, that's what he says.
Okay, I swear he said Hobby.
Hobby, okay, yes, sure it's Hobby. Sense. Hobby Fierstein.
Okay, thank you. Because that's exactly what I heard. I'm like, who in the world is Hobby Fierstein?
Harvey Fierstein. Yeah, I know who that is, man. And you do too, okay, yeah. I assume. He does the voice. He does the Harvey Fierstein voice.
He does?
Yeah, he goes, he's like, hey, he does that kind of gravelly thing.
All right, completely missed that joke. And I think it also goes to Springfield's small town ways that Patty and Selma are surprised at this. I mean,
no, it's that
Doubtfire come out for this.
No, they, yeah, Harvey Fierstein has never been closeted, right? He's always been open about his sexuality. So that is a joke about them and Springfield in general. But I know, I like that in the notes you're like, why does everyone care who's gay? Because
it's true. Like, why would you ask that of a film
character? I mean,
why would you care who in Hollywood is gay?
Because in 1995, it was still novel, I guess. I mean, there's still people today who are like, oh, look at this and look at that. But I don't know. It's not really a surprise anymore when someone announces it. I think that's probably good about how society has gone. But it is that's a thing that true. Has aged the show. You can there's things that are in these old episodes that you can see that are like, oh right, this reminds me that it's 1995. It's, you know, but
back when things were weird, back when Seinfeld was popular.
Seinfeld's still popular, man.
I know. Seinfeld getting people to sign up for Hulu and no other reason. Anyway, as back to the joke, once Patty and Selma ask Jay again who is gay. Homer, for some reason, sneaks up to Jay and, for some reason, Jay, you know, trusts Homer, yeah, and says that MacGyver is gay, which, one, MacGyver's a fictional character. It doesn't really matter.
He could be. I mean, I don't know if we've ever seen MacGyver be in a relationship at all.
No, that really wasn't a focus of the show. Or he could have said Richard Dean Anderson, but I assume they think that people who watching the show did not know who Richard Dean Anderson was. Although when he comes, do you remember what season it was that he guest starred as himself?
I do not remember that.
That was I thought that was a hilarious side joke on a terrible episode, if I recall it correctly. But once Jay says this, Patty and Selma get extremely mad, and we see Jay hanging by his underwear off of a gutter, and Bart laughing at him because it's very obvious to him that he badmouthed MacGyver. but then we see Marge and Homer in another bed sequence. You know, the bed sequences that we love so much. And Marge is continuing to make up the jury for the film festival, and Homer at this point needs coddling because of his intelligence.
What you doing, Marge?
Making out the jury list for the film festival. Mayor Quimby, Krusty, Jay.
Marge, do you respect my intelligence?
Yes.
Okay. Wait a minute. Why did it take you so long to say yes?
No reason.
Okay. Wait a minute. Are you humoring me?
Yes.
Okay. Wait a minute. That's bad.
Robbie pulled all the Marge's hmms, and I pulled the awkward pauses today.
No, those awkward pauses are great because you really very rarely hear those pauses.
You know, the pauses that are in everyone's conversation every day, but never on TV or in movies.
Yes, and that makes it so much better. And the fact that Homer is so dumb. That Marge
has to, I'm surprised Marge has to think about it after all these years. She's just like, yes, Homer. No, Homer. Uh-huh. Sure, Homer.
But I did just look up the character of MacGyver, and he seemingly had no relationships, according to Wikipedia.
Well, he's probably asexual, you know, with his lifestyle. That seems like a better option.
He's in love with, improvising things with duct tape and Swiss Army knives, paper clips.
Exactly.
Yep.
I'm sure there was quite the Swiss Army knife craze around the time MacGyver came out.
I have a Swiss Army knife.
I have several Swiss Army knives, plus multi-tools.
Oh, no. Matt's ready. Matt's a prepper.
We're ready for the apocalypse if it involves Swiss Army knives and multi-tools.
Yeah, I'm sure that's all you need.
Okay. But after that little conversation, Homer asks Marge, basically he suggests that Marge thinks Jay is smarter than him. And Marge, of course, placates him, telling him, no, I don't think that's true. And Homer says, well, does he know all the words of the Oscar Mayer Wiener song? And I almost captured Jay singing the Oscar Mayer Wiener song with Bart and Lisa on backup, as well as Sinister Helper towards the end. But it was long and...
What are your thoughts on them using the Oscar Mayer song so short after using the Armor Hot Dog song?
Was it really that short?
It was not that long ago.
Episodes ago.
Hmm.
That was what season? That was season five.
It was last season. Yeah. But it's within a season.
I mean, I feel like both of those are songs that people would recognize from commercials and have words that are iconic. Essentially, let's put it that way. They're iconic.
I like, they have words. Yep, they do, Matt.
Well, there are a lot of little jingles that are just tunes. They don't have words. So, but I feel like that's one of those things. The Oscar Mayer song has been around for what, 40 years at this point of this episode. So it's something that everyone almost everywhere, even around the world, would notice.
I have no problem with it. I am just asking.
No, I don't have a problem with it either.
Okay.
If you have a problem with it, please tell us.
I don't have a problem with it. The internet had a problem with it. I was just being
really.
We'll get to it.
All right. Oh, those news groups. But, of course, Jay does a fantastic rendition, and Homer is downtrodden at this and says, go ahead, sleep with him, I'll just take a lock of your hair, and then proceeds to cut a giant chunk of Marge's hair out, which it's Marge, so she has tons left over. But he pulls out a giant chunk, and then he says, just you and me now, lock of hair, and proceeds to cuddle it while he sleeps, which is disturbing on several levels, but it's not the first time or last time we will see him do something along those lines. From there, we move on to the auditions to play Mr. Burns in the movie of his life. We have to see Anthony Hopkins in his Silence of the Lambs garb. He's got the straight jacket and the mouth guard, and he's doing his creepy snake thing. Burns rejects him. He rejects William Shatner, doing an excellent, because that's how people parody Shatner. We then see Homer trying to say exactly.
Exactly.
Then, of course, Bumblebee Man saying excelente, to which Spielbergo replies, "Is muy bueno."
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, he would angle for the guy who speaks Spanish.
We do see Bumblebee Man in the Burns movie later.
That's true. He didn't get the part he auditioned for, but he got a part.
Yeah, he at least got something.
That's true. And from there, we actually transition to the actual film festival where Jay is introducing all the films. We have Apu's movie, Bright Lights, Beef Jerky. We have Mo's movie, Mo Better Booze,
that's my personal favorite. I just want to put that
Mo
out
Better
there.
Booze? Yeah. Yeah. With Mo in, what would you call it? It's kind of like Fred Astaire lots of makeup.
It's a cabaret parody.
Cabaret. Okay. Of him dancing on his bar and then falling and hurting his back.
Poor Mo.
We then have Hans Molman's film, Man Getting Hit by Football.
No, it doesn't. There's no groin or crotch in the title.
No.
Every time they describe it, they do is man getting hit in the groin. But it is the title officially is Man Getting Hit by Football.
Indeed. Of course, Homer is just thrilled at man getting hit by a football. He says,
"How could he not?
His groin, it works on so many levels."
Well, that's two levels right there. How could he not? I mean, it's such a masterpiece in filmmaking.
It's a Homer film right there.
I'm
surprised
you know,
he didn't produce it.
It has everything you could possibly need in a movie.
Uh-huh. It really does. There's action, there's adventure, there's love, there's heartbreak.
There's a Hans Molman.
Which really should be in every movie, to be fair.
Yeah. I don't like the recasting they did.
No, George C. Scott.
George C. Scott, yeah, it's not the same. It's not the same without Hans Molman.
It's true, and George C. Scott's added dialogue added nothing.
Nope.
Then, of course, we have Barney's movie, which we won't find out till later, but it's named Pocahontas, and we find out that Barney is 40. He has quotes from, was it Hamlet or Othello? It was Othello. Quotes from Othello in his movie about his alcoholism, and it's all in black and white. It's very artistic. Everyone in the film festival just goes wild over it. Although, I guess for a short film, it's all right. The women next to Barney comment on how he has the soul of a poet. But as soon as they see the real Barney, they ask him if something crawled down his throat and died, to which Barney responds, "It didn't die." So confirmation that something is living in Barney Gumble's throat.
The movie is a reference to, I'm going to try and pronounce this correctly. Kianiskatisi. Kianiskatisi.
Is that French or Spanish? How would you spell it for us?
Kianiskatisi.
Okay, yeah, you got me on that one. Yeah. I got nothing.
It's from an American filmmaker, Godfrey Reggio. He's descended from an Italian guy, but he's American. He was born in New Orleans. So I don't know. The title is, I think it's referring to, it's in the Hopi language, so it's a Native American word, but means unbalanced life. But it is, this movie has references to that. The music as well is also a reference.
I guess Pocahontas makes a little more sense now, since it was based on a film with a Native American title.
I don't know. I don't know, really. I have not seen that film, and we're gonna talk about this these movies a little bit later on, but that is all the weird kind of black and white artsy stuff in it is obviously it's referring to more than just that. There's a whole selection of film that is very much like Barney's movie, but that is a particular reference at least.
Right. A series of movies that are like that win all kinds of awards, but are seen by almost nobody because people don't enjoy them. In general, let's be honest here. If this was a real film festival and people were allowed to vote, Burns' movie would win hands down because it has actual production value.
Probably, yeah.
Speaking of Burns' movie, we get to see it is apparently an epic-length movie, a Burns for All Seasons, where Burns plays E.T., Jesus. He also saves a small Mexican village during which he is dragged by a horse because that's the best technique he can get. And Burns, of course, plays himself because he had to. We also see Bumblebee Man, as we said earlier, and Phil Hartman plays, oh my God, I can't remember now.
Charlton Heston?
Charlton Heston, yes. That is from Ben-Hur, right?
Correct.
He calls him Ben-Hur? Okay.
Yeah, it's from Ben-Hur.
Okay. And of course, at the end, everyone immediately begins to boo because it's obviously a puff piece. But, well, there's some confusion at first.
Smithers, are they booing me?
No, they're saying boo-erns. Boo-erns.
Are you saying boo or boo-erns?
I was saying boo-erns.
Mole Man didn't even vote for his own film. He voted for Burns, apparently.
Again, another one of those, hey, I say that all the time things.
Oh, yeah.
I was saying boo-erns. They're not saying they're not saying boo-erns.
No.
No.
They're very upset. And with that revelation that they were, in fact, saying boo, we go to a commercial.
When we come back, we do learn the name of Barney's movie. That is Pocahontas. And we see some of the deliberation between the five members of the film festival committee.
All right, it's time to vote for the grand prize.
I vote for Barney Gumble's sensitive yet unfortunately titled film, Pocahontas.
Second.
Well, I vote for Burns' movie.
Me too. Now let's get going. I got a date with Eudora Welty. Coming, Eudora.
So there's that other Eudora.
The exact same sound.
Yeah, but it's Eudora Welty that time. So the committee is split 2-2. Burns has bribed both Quimby and Krusty. And Marge and Jay are both on the side of Barney. They like the artsy movie. Homer he likes man getting hit by football. And there's more deliberation.
How can you vote for Burns' movie?
Let's just say it moved me to a bigger house! Oops, I said the quiet part loud and the loud part quiet. Oh, dear.
2-2. Well, Homer, it all comes down to you.
Football in the grind! Football in the grind!
Well, we're not going to resolve this deadlock anytime soon.
So Homer calls it football in the groin. And then we have this, they get a 5-minute break so they can, you know, think about things. And then I really resent this, honestly, this moment of this episode. That, okay, one, Marge put Homer on the committee, correct?
Yes.
I understand that she was guilted into it, but she did end up choosing him. Two, I honestly don't think that I think, like, if you're looking at it, like, at a pure artistic level, man getting hit by football is actually, like, could be, like, avant-garde filmmaking. Like, just to have...
That is true. It has an arc. A man is happy. A man is getting happier because he's a football coming towards him. It hits him in the groin. There's a rising action, and then he falls to the ground
in pain.
It is a whole arc.
It's a metaphor for humanity.
It is.
And so, like, I understand, like, yeah, the correct choice is Barney's movie. But I don't know. I don't like this, the intellectual elitism. Like, because them wanting Barney's movie to win so badly is not, I don't know. I kind of resent, like, it feels like it goes, I think I don't like it because it feels like it goes against The Simpsons. Mm-hmm. Because that, like, it is clearly, The Simpsons are clearly like, we don't care, like, what you laugh at. Like, we'll have really, like, really highbrow references to things you probably have never, like, Eudora Welty. I don't know who that is until I looked it up, but, or we'll have burps. Like, that's the, you know, we'll have dumb physical humor that is funny. And when they decide to go with Barney's movie, because it's more highbrow, it feels like it's betraying the sentiment of the show a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I just feel like basically they have Jay on the committee, they have Marge on the committee because she organized the thing. I feel like that's kind of the thing they would do, but
that's true. Yeah. I mean, it's not like it's
true to their characters.
It and is true to their characters.
They essentially rope Homer into it, so it's true to his character as well to do it what Marge wants.
Yeah, I guess that's true. He loves Marge, and I think that probably does outweigh him liking people getting hit in the groin with a football. and we see Homer trying to weigh out his vote. What should he pick?
Barney's movie had heart, but football in the groin had a football in the groin.
Oh, cry for me. I'm already dead.
Wow. I'll never drink another beer.
Beer here.
I'll take 10.
I think part of the message might have been lost on Homer.
Might be. Well, I mean, we get... So, Homer has decided. We don't know what he has decided, but we see very shortly when they announce the winner of the film festival.
The winner of the grand prize. Barney Gumble.
Only you voted for the right movie. I'm glad you were on the jury.
You know something, Marge? It's not that tough being a film cricket.
I needed to include film, like that film cricket.
Film cricket.
Film cricket. Barney wins. He
gets one of the worst prizes ever.
He declares himself sober and then gets a lifetime supply of beer. I don't know what you're talking about, Matt. That's a pretty... I guess if it was Duff beer, it wouldn't be amazing, but, I mean, it's a lifetime supply of anything is pretty good.
That's true, but lifetime supplies are never really lifetime supplies. It's like, oh, you get one of these every week for, like, 20 years. That's their definition of a lifetime supply. So he gets, like, one beer a week
for
20 years.
You just save them for a while, and then you have a six-pack. You just don't... Okay. You just don't drink that for, like, a month, and then you haven't enough for, like, a night.
I suppose that's true.
You see how much beer he gets. It's a lot.
That is true. Although most places that give you a lifetime supply, they dole it out a little at a time. Whereas in this case, they just gave him a truckload of Duff beer, which he then hooks directly to his veins because it's Barney.
That's probably not. You shouldn't do that,
you
Barney.
Should definitely not do that.
Don't do that, Barney. But with that, the film festival's over. It is time for Jay to go back to New York City. The family says goodbye.
Goodbye, Mr. Sherman. If I ever play Carnegie Hall, I'll give you a call.
And if you ever want to visit my show...
Nah, we're not going to be doing that.
I needed to include that in particular. Bart giving his... No, it's okay. Yeah, Jay. Well, you can come visit us, but we're not gonna go visit you.
Yeah.
It'd be, Simpson and the Critic would be really weird. Anyway, you'd have to animate them differently. I don't think they would fit in the critic's world.
No, definitely not. The critic's world is, if anything, more realistic than The Simpsons. Although there are a few times where things just get a little odd, but they're believable. Whereas The Simpsons, with their, you know, yellowness and, you know, four fingers, would just be weird.
And the overbites. they did remodel Jay for The Simpsons. You know, they gave him the yellow skin, but they also gave him like a little bit of the overbite. That, you know, they made him look Simpson-y.
Mm-hmm.
But the episode ends with Burns at the Oscars. Apparently has pushed his film all the way there, but
when you bribe everyone in Hollywood.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Well, except the fact that he still loses to Man Getting Hit with Football, which has been rebooted with George C. Scott in the starring role.
Someone must have optioned the film and did a reboot.
Yeah, I still like the original more. Hans Moleman.
Well, yeah.
I mean, I think that, you know, you got to go with the original casting is always, you know, what I feel is
not to mention. I feel like all the special effects really drew the eye away from where it should be, which is the football hitting his groin.
I know, really, honestly, that is the critical point of contention. I think with all us Moleman fans. I was trying to think of a good word for it. I can't think of a good word for it off the top of my head. But that's how the episode ends. I've never... Like, I've seen all The Critic. We talked about it in a bonus episode. And I love The Simpsons. And I guess I... Watching The Simpsons in order like this, and you know, talking about it every single week, the crossover does stand out as, like, a weird thing.
It does, because, I mean... The Simpsons very rarely have crossovers. They have one, I believe, in season 9. It's very, very short. It's like 10 seconds of a crossover with King of the Hill and Bart Starr. And I think that's it. Have there been any other, like,
well,
actual
Futurama.
Crossovers? Futurama and Family Guy are way down the line.
Yeah, they're way later.
Ideas.
No, I don't... Other than that, no, not really.
Yeah.
No. So it certainly stands out. I never thought about it at the time, you know, watching this episode before. I just went, I know Jay Sherman. He's from that other show. And he's in The Simpsons. I didn't really, but it definitely is an outlier. Like, The Simpsons don't really do it. The thing I feel like it doesn't, it never stood out before is because The Simpsons are constantly referencing, you know, other media all the time. And so to have a character from another show that is Simpsons-like, you know, it's not obvious, it's not exactly the same as The Simpsons, but it does borrow a lot of things from it. But, well, you know, it does its own thing, but it does use a lot of movie references and stuff. It is, in a lot of ways, a precursor to Family Guy. But it's anything mixed with The Simpsons, kind of, you just go, oh, okay. Because that's kind of what The Simpsons do a lot of the way. A lot of time, it's just like, hey, there's a thing you know, but now you see it in The Simpsons. So it's not, it doesn't stand out as much. But it we're going to talk about Matt Groening's feelings about this episode in a bit. But I understand his point of view, but I don't. I think this episode is I don't. Okay, I'll ask you this, Matt. Do you think they do, if they do a film festival episode without Jay Sherman, is it better?
I would probably say yes, because we would get more time with at least a couple more Springfield people that we really enjoy, that they would be able to, I feel like, utilize a lot better. Because when you have Jay Sherman in there, he's a main character from another show, so you have to kind of treat him like a main character. Whereas if you had somebody else from Springfield, you know, I don't know, Principal Skinner or something, you can make a lot of jokes based around him. Whereas Jay, with the exception of the dinner scene, doesn't really get a lot of jokes centered around him. Like, for an episode that is a crossover, it's still heavily about the Simpsons.
He's very much the straight man in this, honestly. He doesn't get the only bit, like that dinner scene, I think, is the only thing that where he is like
and him singing the Oscar Mayer song.
Yeah, like he's a foil for Homer in a little bit, but that is not really the important part of this episode, honestly. Like they play up the Homer being like hurt by Marge, you know, not respecting his intelligence, but it ends up not really being about that for the most part. Like, I think it becomes more like Homer doesn't want to disappoint Marge. Like, that the third act is more about Homer, like, voting to please Marge and because he loves her. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not really about, is Homer smart enough? But I'm not sure, to answer my own question. I'm not sure if it's better, but it's different. But I don't know.
It would definitely be a more concentrated episode, because I think we're going to get into this when we rank the episode. But it feels like this episode, it just, the humor doesn't quite hit as close as it could have been, because a lot of the focus has shifted to the crossover aspect. So, like I said, we'll see when we rank it. But I feel like that pushes it down a little further than it would have been if it would have just been about The Simpsons themselves. Maybe it's time for another film festival episode.
Maybe.
Especially now that film festivals are a larger thing in the public consciousness, because everyone, you know, watches TV and sees the internet and sees all the films at Cannes and all the other frou-frou festivals throughout the world.
Frou-frou?
Indeed, oh. Frou-frou. I said it.
On it, we can move on, Matt. We have some submissions, plural, for my favorite episode.
Whoa.
Two, to be precise. Plural. It's still plural.
One episode.
Yes, it is, actually. First from Mark. Hey, guys, I'm a lifelong Simpsons fan, and while it's a close call among several episodes, I must say A Star Is Burns is my favorite. I love when the show highlights the absurdity of show business, and Hollywood in particular. To this day, whenever my brother or I tell a joke that isn't funny, the other is right there to fill the silence with, "You suck, McBain." Ironically, that's pretty rough. Ironically, this being my favorite has very little to do with the critic and everything to do with the amazing B story of my favorite character, Mr. Burns. Comes on screen to the Imperial March from Star Wars, somehow even gets even better from there. His movie is just like Hollywood, going for big visuals over any kind of story to appeal to the masses. But man, would I love to see the DVD extras on Burns for All Seasons. I would too, honestly. And of course, right? This episode contains what may be my favorite gag of all time on the show. Krusty's amazing. Let's just say it moved me to a bigger house. P.S. Can you imagine going to a Rocky Horror screening and seeing your family doctor in full Frankenfurter costume? Yikes.
That would be terrifying. I don't really have a doctor.
I don't either, yeah.
I can't really say. But
yeah. I don't know. I don't have a, yeah, I don't have a family. I don't have a doctor. Me and Matt live on the edge. And our second submission is from Sean, who says, you might remember
a young, healthy edge.
You might remember as the Scottish madman in the Facebook comments. Which I don't. I think that's hilarious. I don't really. I don't refer to you as the. He's your head. My headcanon for you, Sean, is not the Scottish madman, but
it can be. I guess.
It can be. His answer. My favorite episode of all time is The Star Is Burns. If you've seen the credit, just like I have, you'll know how amazing it was. Truly amongst the most underrated animated shows of all time. This episode gives Simpsons fans a tease of what they are doing on the credit. Great gags, funny characters, and movie parodies and spoofs for days. Sadly, Mr. Groening didn't like this and wanted it gone for good. It's also the first competition that show had in animation since Ren and Stimpy. The next challengers wouldn't be until South Park and Seth Simpson's critics would be crap. Tell us how you really feel, Sean. Sad that the critic never got it. Shot, it really was at the right place at the wrong... At the right place at the wrong time? I don't know. We understand. And so thank you guys for both your submissions. If you have a favorite episode... send it to me, SimpsonsShowPod@gmail.com. I will read it when we get to it. And speaking about Matt Groening's anger about this episode, it is time for our next segment. It is time for comments from the news group.
Okay, here we are. Alt.nerd.obsessive.
Comments from the news group is where I will comb through the old alt.tv.simpsons news group, see what people were talking about when this episode came out back on the proto internet. So we didn't really touch on it during our episode discussion. I think I kind of wanted to leave it for this segment. Matt Groening took his name off this episode. If you look at the credits, Matt Groening's name is not there. He felt the crossover was very un-Simpsons like. He didn't want people thinking that he had a hand in the critic.
I don't feel like that's something that people would actually think.
I don't. That's how he justified it. Like he was. That's what he said. I don't want them. I don't want people thinking that the critic is also my show. He had a big dust up with James L. Brooks over this. Matt Groening is not in the commentary track on the DVD for this episode. It was a big. The big thing at the time, and there's a lot of fans on the news group who were very empathetic with Matt Groening, even though they've had that some harsh words for him over the past season or two. Although they seem to think the general consensus is, I think from what I can gather, is that they think Matt Groening, he created the show and the early stuff, the earlier seasons that everyone likes, at least on the news group. They think it's Matt Groening mostly doing all that, and as the show has gone on, it deviated from what it had established, that it is the new writers doing this, and Matt Groening needs to rein them in, or something along those lines. But a lot of people they approve of Matt Groening's take and his stand to not be involved with the episode that has the critic crossover. But I say that, and then there's also people who are like, yeah, this was great, I really liked it, I love the critic, and I'm glad we get to see them together. So, it's hard, it's the internet, there's people have emotions.
They do, they're mostly wrong about those emotions, but hey.
I try, temper things. I think that's just breathe a little bit, and then think about it. People were angry about Jay Sherman being in their show. Unless they, or they, like, that's what the angry people didn't like this week. I think every week the angry people dislike a different thing. They also didn't like, I mentioned the hot dog thing. They, like, multiple people specifically pointed out, they already did a hot dog song. Why are they doing it again?
Interesting.
Yeah. Whatever.
People really find a lot of weird stuff to complain about.
I did. Combing through these old news group postings, you find some funny things, and I wanted to include this just because I thought it was charming. This is a post. The first thing it says is, don't have a cow, man. And then it says, hello, my name is Billy. I am in the fourth grade. I live in Missouri, near St. Louis. I am doing a report on the World Wide Web and shopping in my social studies class. If you can help me with my poll, please email answers back to me at billy34190. Question 1. Have you used the World Wide Web? Question 2. Have you visited a cyber mall or online mall? 3. Have you ever buy anything online? 4. If not, why not? 5. What kinds of things would you like to see online? 6. Would you buy clothes online if I was a company you know and they had pictures? 7. Are you a male or female? And how old are you? Thank you for your help, Billy.
Okay.
Billy is in the fourth grade. He is roughly our age now. Hey, Billy, if you're listening.
That is true.
hit me up. Let me know how that report went.
He got way too many responses, and now he's some prepper out in Montana. Like,
oh no.
No, the internet is bad. It will destroy civilization.
I mean,
got so much weird ASCII porn.
I didn't get to. I think I was on AOL in 97, 98.
Mm-hmm.
So a few years after this, I was online on AOL. Yeah, had the internet.
Yeah.
But that's about it for Comes from the News Group. We can move on to our next segment. Matt, is time for listener question of the week.
Let's try one more number.
Yellow.
KBBL is gonna give me something stupid.
Well, hot dog, we have a wiener.
Yellow.
The listener question of the week this week is, what is your favorite Simpsons feud? Tons of great answers. Appreciate all the responses. First, we have Will. At Will's World MN, Homer and Bart versus George Bush, tricking him into thinking his sons were outside to only to put a rainbow wig on him. Pat at Patrick Evans 2, how could it not be Springfield versus Shelbyville for the lemon tree? Great question. Mitch's answer at Mitch Doyle 13, the Scots versus everybody. He included a link to the Willie. The Scots ruined it.
They ruined Scotland.
They ruined Scotland. Laurel at Laurel Randy. The Flaming Moe, Flaming Homer feud is pretty great. Justin, Homer Simpson, George Bush, and Two Bad Neighbors. I love it when George just donuts on the Simpsons lawn and Bart refers to it as blowback, and you can't forget that rainbow afro. Now he steals my right to raise a disobedient, smart alecky son. Well, that's it.
It's all in the Bible, son. The prankster's Bible.
We have John. This goes without saying. Bart versus Sideshow Bob. Anything else is just playing for second place. The fact Bob has a high IQ and is constantly outwitted by a 10-year-old makes me laugh every time.
Really, it's Bob's need for validation of how smart he is that makes him fail.
Probably goes before a fall. Chris, has to be the feud between Springfield and Shelbyville over the lemon tree. I still use Shea Carter boy, and there's doings a transpiring as often as possible. # turnip juice. Vanessa's answer, Homer versus Bear. Homer versus the bear tax. Homer, bears pay the bear tax. I pay the Homer tax. At least that's the homeowner tax. That's good. Mike's answer, the sudden rivalry of Bart and Dr. Demento with absolutely no reason given. I do like that. Rob's answer, Homer and Frank Grimes, or Grimy, as he liked to be called. Here we go. We got Nick's answer, Lord Palmerston, Pitt the Elder. You asked for it, Boggs. That's my Foley work. Do you like that, Matt?
That's good. I really appreciated that. I was like, wow, it really felt like I see somebody get punched.
Yep. We have Adrian's answer. Favorite feud has to be Homer versus Barney in the episode of Mr. Plow. Love when Barney pulls up his massive snowplow and shoots Homer's tires with his gun in the plow. The Plow King song is great. The Mr. Plow song's good, too. I like them both.
That's true.
That name again is Mr. Plow. Matt, what is your answer?
I'm going to actually steal somebody else's answer from Facebook and go with Wiggum versus Quimby for whoever is really in charge of the city. Because every time there seems to be an incident of some sort, they're at each other's throats on who gets to be in charge. Wiggum says, run along, Quimby. I think someone's dedicating a phone booth somewhere. Mm-hmm. And how it led them to read in the town charter that Wiggum is supposed to get 2 comely lasses of virtue true every month.
Someone gets a pig every month too, right?
Yes. Also, the police chief gets a pig. So Springfield's a very odd town from back then. What about you?
What do you think, Matt?
I really don't know. I mean, it could be the George Bush or it could be Sideshow Bob. I don't know. You tend to go with the classics, so I'd probably say Sideshow Bob.
Mm-mm-mm. Homer and Grimy.
Oh, that's true. Your love for Grimy.
And my love for Grimy. I think if Frank Grimes and Homer are an applicable choice for any answer, I usually use it. I love it. I can't wait till we get to that episode. I even like it more because Homer is like, he doesn't want to fight. That's the best part about it. And Grimy's like, no, you're my enemy now. And Homer's like, no, I don't. I just, it's everything.
I'm your friend.
Everything about that is the best. Next week's question. What is your favorite use of The Simpsons outside the show?
Ooh, that's be a tough one.
So they could be a reference somewhere, or it could be, I don't know, like, you know, you guys do a good job thinking outside the box. And I don't want to try and constrain you. I'll post this question on all our social media. Put it on Facebook, facebook.com/TheSimpsonsShowPod. On Twitter, @SimpsonsShowPod. You can email us at SimpsonsShowPod@gmail.com. Any of those places, you can reach out, follow us, like us, all that good stuff. There's also links on our website to our social media if you want to look at that. Matt?
Yes?
It is time for the No Google Trivia Challenge.
I am too smart.
I am smart. S-M-R-T. I mean S-M-A-R-R-T.
The No Google Trivia Challenge. This is where Matt and I will try and stump the other with three trivia questions. One easy, one medium, one hard. We have a wager for this season, season 6. The host that does not win must mow the other's lawn in their wife's Sunday best. We may have to postpone that till December.
Whoa.
But if I lose, because I may not be here to do it, but we'll make it work. We'll get it done. It just might take some time. I'll start us off, Matt. You ready? We don't have a theme. I chose all my questions from a single episode.
Ooh, okay.
It is the worst episode ever.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Your easy question is, in worst episode ever, which character is given his first major role?
I believe it'd be Comic Book Guy.
That is correct. That is correct.
Or Jeff Anderson, as it were.
I don't think he's named until later, right?
I don't think so, no.
Yeah.
All right, sir, your easy question. These are all from a particular season.
That's not good.
Who is Ned Flanders' amusement park dedicated to?
His wife.
That is correct. Maude Flanders.
Maude Flanders. Okay. All right. I got a point. That's all I need. Like,
you're
as,
on the board.
As long as I get a point on an episode, I feel okay. Okay. In worst episode ever, what actor and makeup artist guest stars as himself?
I believe it'd be Tom Savini.
That is correct.
Okay.
You know, I thought I was going to challenge.
Worried for a second.
I thought I was going to stump you on that one.
It's a cool name, and I really appreciate his work, even though I'm not really big on horror or those sorts of things. It just seems like a really cool job to have. He's really good at it. All right. Are you ready for your medium question?
Do I have to?
Yes, you do.
Okay. Yes, I am.
All right. What is the name of the beautiful hippie Lisa tries to impress in Lisa the Tree Hugger?
Oh.
Sounds like you know this one.
I do. I know this.
I am expecting the first and last name.
Okay. So you know. Okay. Okay. I can do this.
Okay.
I remember him because, like, it's about, like, is he a vegan?
He's a level 5 vegan.
That's right. He doesn't eat anything that casts a shadow. Right.
He also pocket mulches.
That's a pretty good gag, honestly. I like that episode. I can picture him. Like, I know exactly what he looks like.
Mm-hmm.
But
he was recently released a couple months ago and Tapped Out. That's you can blame Tapped Out for this question.
That doesn't help me at all.
Well, if you hadn't quit playing.
Oh, if I hadn't. Oh, that's what it is. If I if I had not. If I just. If I had just played that awful game.
Indeed.
Jesse something? Jesse. Matt, that's not helpful. Matt,
oh, okay.
Not helpful. Doing that music. I can do this. Uh-huh. Jesse? Some plant thing. Jesse.
Our poor listeners, they're just like, come on, man.
I can do it. I just gotta summon it. I watched this episode rather recently, too. Jesse.
Just so you know, guys, if you're listening to this and Robbie has cut out a ton of silence, he's at least 3 minutes into this question now.
I know it. I just don't want to give up on it. I need these points. Jesse Grass? That's a plant. Plant.
Is that your final answer?
Yeah.
You are correct, sir.
Oh my god.
Jesse Grass.
Pulled that. I don't know how I did that. I think it I have watched it. I wrote about it for our Patreon too. I should have been able to get it quicker. Okay, Matt. I don't like I don't like how quickly you answered my medium question. I have a feeling you know this answer too.
But
what in worst episode ever? What comic book does Milhouse overorder?
This is a little too easy, but I want to say Bicyclops.
You are correct.
Yes.
I hate you.
I love that episode.
I hate you so much.
I know.
I hate you. You're the worst. How do you you just get it so fast. Just, hey, yep, just pop it. Nope. A hard question. Like boom, I said, easy.
That's probably my top 50 episode, so I've seen it a lot.
Oh, really, I hate episode. You. Okay, go. Give me my hard question.
All right. Yeah, I think you might get this one.
Mm.
All right. Your question, who is the Simpsons guide in Simpsons Safari, and what job does he get at the end?
Gabriel is his name, right? You're going to wait for me to answer the whole thing, aren't you?
No, I just want to confirm it. Is that your final answer?
I wanted, it has, it's Gabriel, right? Because it's voiced by, what's his name? He did the, I can't remember his actual name. Delroy Lindo, right?
I'm not sure, actually, who does his voice. Let me look real quick.
I think it's Delroy Lindo. But I want to say it's Gabriel, and he is, because he protects him from the animals. Isn't that that episode? The episode's terrible. I don't know. Gabriel and he
becomes... I'll give you a hint. I think you're thinking of the wrong episode. You're thinking of... what episode is that? It's actually maybe in the same season.
They go... Oh, that's... Is it just like another nature one, but it's not...
Kind of.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's... what episode? What is the name of that episode?
I don't know, but I think you're... I am thinking of a different episode. I don't know then, Matt. I can't think... I don't know. I haven't seen Simpsons.
You're thinking of Brawl in the Family when the biggest fights come back.
Oh, I see. Simpsons Safari is a bad episode that I've seen maybe...
Very bad episode.
Maybe one time. I think I've seen it exactly one time. And then I went, I'll watch this again, maybe.
I do find it amusing we picked episodes all from season 12 because of how generally bad they are.
Okay. What's the answer, Matt? I don't know.
All right, the answer is Katenge, and at the end, he is the president.
Oh, okay.
Because President Muntu is now their flight attendant.
All right. That sounds about right. I had no memory of that. I think I just tried to remember a better episode that had a guide.
Brawl in the Family is pretty bad, too.
It's better than Simpsons Safari.
That's true.
I'm not saying Simpsons Safari is the one I have in mind when I say it's going to be the worst episode we've had yet, but it's pretty bad. I have precisely one bonus question for you, Matt.
Ooh.
This is from Andrew. What learning disability does Duffman suffer from?
He's dyslexic, correct?
That is correct. It is Duffman's secret shame. Oh, yeah.
Which Duffman, though?
I don't know. I don't know.
Well, to be fair, Homer was also Duffman, so there's a laundry list.
Matt now has a 12-point lead on me. We can just declare this over. I don't think I'm going to catch up at this point, unless I start cheating. So next week, stay tuned for cheating. It is time. Matt's like, I don't care. I'm still gonna win. Our time for our final segment, Matt. Segment we win every single episode with. It is time for best episode ever.
Best episode ever.
Best episode ever. It's the part show Matt and I will rank the episodes categorically as we watch them chronologically, eventually compiling a list of every episode ever and how good they are. So, Matt, you were alluding to the fact this episode would drop down a little bit because of you don't like there's not enough this is J because it's not Simpsony enough. Is that correct?
Well, yeah, essentially, they could have replaced J with pretty much anybody, and I feel like it would have made the episode a little stronger for me, but you know. It's not that much.
Okay, where does it go?
All right, let's see. Here.
Give me your at least your ballpark.
Well, it's despite Jay Sherman in the crossover, I feel like it's kind of a Mr. Burns episode because it's amazing, but he's kind of tangential to the actual plot.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking right around Springfield with a dollar sign.
I was actually thinking that same thing.
Because that jumps out at me as something that it's not all about Mr. Burns, but he's definitely the best part of it. And it has a great Marge and Homer subplot, and the kids are kind of there. And, well, you've got Jay hanging around. I actually think Springfield is better than this. Not by a lot, but...
I don't know. I think I'd put this above Springfield.
Why do you say that?
I feel like as a whole, it is better written.
That's true.
I feel like,
but Florida and Idaho.
That's really good. But this is Boo Earns. It has man getting hit with football.
It's Mo Better Booze.
I don't know. It has a lot of Springfield in it. You know, it has a lot of side characters get moments. Honestly,
they even both have the showbiz elements with the Siegfried and Roy parody.
And I feel like it does a better job with this. That's really what this episode is. Like, it's Burns and Springfield as a whole, with, you know, the family sprinkled in there. But in Homer and Marge get the starring parts of the, if you're going to look at the Simpsons family. But as a whole, I think this episode is more interesting than Springfield, honestly. Bart's girlfriend is right above it. I would put it above Bart's girlfriend as well, honestly.
Oof.
I don't know
if I can cotton to that.
Oh, I don't really hold Bart's girlfriend in any kind of high esteem. Homer Batman, I also like have no real strong feelings about, so I'd put it.
Oh, see, now if you try and put it above Homer Batman, we're gonna have some words because Homer Batman's amazing.
They're all amazing, Matt. These are all like.
That's true. They're all our top 50. So you know.
Yeah, exactly. We're over 100 episodes in. You know, it's gonna. That's why The Simpsons is considered the best show ever. Is because. Of such high quality. It's like you could look at like the top 90 of our episodes or top 100 of our episodes and you go, oh yeah, that one's really good. Why is it at number 92? I'm like, well, because The Simpsons is really
one above it.
Yeah, like because Simpsons is really good. How about we put it above Bart's Girlfriend but below Homer Batman?
I can get behind that. Bart's Girlfriend, I don't really have a whole lot of stakes in it. And you're right, this is a tighter episode than Springfield, even though I really like Springfield.
I like everything about Springfield except the dismount. I don't like how the episode ends.
Episode ends beautifully.
Yeah, it doesn't try. It just has. There's no jerk Homer in this, which is the worst. I think the worst thing about Springfield is that it's kind of jerk Homer at the end. But Sarge Burns, number 41 on our list, right below Homer Batman, right above Bart's Girlfriend. Number one on our list is still Cape Fear. Last place, still Homer's Odyssey, way down there at 114. You can find this list at our website, thesimpsonsshow.com. This list broken down by season and with the Trials of Horror segments ranked individually as well. You can get links to our Facebook, to our Twitter, to our RSS feed, to our Patreon. If you want to throw us, if you think the show is worth a couple dollars, throw it our way. We really appreciate it. What's our next episode, Matt?
Ooh, let me check the list, aka Wikipedia. I believe it is Lisa's Wedding. Ooh.
Lisa's Wedding, which is a great episode. And we will
fantastic episode.
We will have the we're having our own little crossover where Matt will be guest starring on my comic book podcast. And
just to hate on The Dark Knight Returns.
We're gonna have some words. And Eric, my co-host in my comic book podcast, will be guesting with us here just to talk about Lisa's Wedding. So it'll be, you guys get to, if you have not listened to my comic book podcast, you'll get to hear Eric's southern drawl and all his words.
So many words.
That he shouts. He can't help it. That's his normal volume. I think before we go, let's see, you can find me on Twitter at MixmasterCereal. That's MixmasterCereal. And please check out my comic book podcast, especially this week. Get to hear, the next episode. I think 1 week from today. You'll hear Matt. Handsome Boys Comics Hour. HandsomeBoysComicsHour.com on iTunes, etc. Matt does not participate in social media. There's a certain level of Patreon backer. You will not find him.
That is true. However, I have decided as a Father's Day gift to my dad, I'm going to go out, go back in time to hang out with him when he and my mom were cool. So if you find yourself back in the late 70s, early 80s, just look me up. I'll be the guy on a cell phone.
I mean, I think that will... The man who has magic powers all of a sudden, basically. Well, there won't be any of those satellites, so you're kind of...
I know, there'll be no signal, no towers.
No, you won't really be able to do anything with it. I used to be with it, then they changed what it... Yeah, that's basically
all... No, it seems weird and scary to me.
Yeah, that's basically all our parents. I think with that, we can call it a day. I'm Robbie.
And I'm Matt.
And keep watching The Simpsons.
Shh.